Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
We moved to Waco not for any of the reasons that people can think of, but simply because of the people.
Today is a special day for me on the Waco Experience and American Story. My guest is Christine A. Smith, my wife. As 2025 came to a close, Christine and I celebrated our first full year in Texas. When asked why we chose to move from Oregon to Texas, we often tell folks that Christine felt drawn to Waco and I felt called. We met in our college Sunday school class. She was finishing her degree in education, I was studying business, but I was all set to go into the Air Force. I shipped out and Christine led the letter writing campaign. I would receive letters from our college group always, with Christine as the final note and greeting. We stayed in touch. I visited her when I was on leave. Texas has always had a special place in our relationship and hearts. She came to visit me in San Angelo when I was stationed at Goodfellow Air Force Base. She stayed with my Sunday school teachers, a retired couple, Bronk and Irene Newman. It was at a little park in San Angelo where we had our first kiss. In this episode, Christine will share about how she has integrated into a new community. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, pergola, or maybe you're ready to build that custom home. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Biddy & Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and has a community room you can reserve and use at no cost. Waco's highest rated coffee shop, Biddy & Bo's, is at 110 Franklin in downtown Waco. presentgifting.com. Relationships are important. Moments are important. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have someone to remind you of the upcoming events for those important people in your life? Present Gifting is a free service releasing soon. Register now for early VIP access at presentgifting.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend JB James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web, hotdigitaltv.com. Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality. Smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets are available for delivery when you are ready. Call 254-744-0938 and visit the website, qualitycabinetstx.com. D's got here just off of downtown Waco in the home office with Christine A. Smith. Full disclosure, Christine and I have been married over 41 years. I know her a little bit better than many of the guests that I've had on the show, but we're still going to be talking about her journey into a new community, her work with volunteer organizations, and her entrepreneurial journey. So, Christine, welcome to the Waco Experience and American Story.
Thank you for welcoming me.
So, let's talk about what you're doing now that you're here in Waco. Then we'll talk about how you integrated into the community.
What I'm doing now, which is the easiest thing to tell people when they ask me, what am I doing or what am I busy with or what occupies my days, is that I tell them I drive individuals to their appointments. And that usually brings on kind of that that sort of smile of, oh, I like the kind of person that I am standing here meeting for the first time. And then I get to tell them why that was even made possible for me. And it's through an organization that has been going right here in Waco for 36 years.
So Inez Russell founded the organization Friends for Life. She was guest on episode number 2 of this very show. You came to Oregon, or came from Oregon to Waco, Texas. How did you integrate into the community?
The 2 years just before arriving here, we had moved to a small community of 10,000 people. And we got to know the community by going in and out of businesses. But we also were intentional about joining the Chamber of Commerce. And so people would find out I was invested enough in our town to take me seriously if I said, you know, I have an idea that I think would be helpful to the community or this region at large. And it's just expected, oh, well, you've joined a group that wants to see the community do well. So that opened up a lot of conversations there. I believe it was less than 10 days between our move-in and registering at the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce.
Before we moved to Independence, you were running a podcast, video podcast, Aspects of Aging. You carried that into Independence, Oregon, and then you brought that to Waco. So how has an online presence helped you connect with people locally?
Those people are that hear that I talk to other people on screen. That takes a few more moments to digest, as opposed to I drive people to appointments. That's pretty understood, you know, that somehow I'm being an Uber or I'm assisting someone in something that maybe they used to do for themselves. But what I say as I interact with them again and again is I would love for you to enjoy meeting some other people on screen while we go live on LinkedIn and YouTube and talk about what you love to do, what you are excited about. You get to put your own best foot forward. And you'll see that my style is not an interview style. It really is just enjoying the conversation. But we do have a central topic, and that is everything to do with aging.
So the podcast, the video podcast, is called Aspects of Aging with Christine A. Smith, and it's available on your website, YouTube, and LinkedIn. People can look at the website, AgingBetterNetwork.com. Go to the live tab and scroll through the several years of episodes that you have. You didn't know anybody in Waco before moving here, but you knew people in Texas.
That was through the internet as well. And some of them I had interviewed. They were in Austin, Dallas, probably down in Houston as well, using social media in ways that cause you to be more social with people who, after you've had that opportunity to be together, it feels like you've just been sitting across the table from each other.
So LinkedIn is your primary social media. In fact, it's probably, we could say, really your only social media.
It really is. I don't think email counts as social media. And it is where I've met people. And I reach out to them and let them know what I'm about, what I used to do as my earning position, and what I am doing. And it helps people to realize, oh, she really means what she says. She comes together in conversations where my guests get to promote whatever invention or book or course or coaching or life hack they've come up with that is around aging, caregiving, and positive longevity.
Prior to coming to Waco, you had the video podcast, you had connected to a number of people here in Texas, had written some books.
So my advice is, I know this isn't the end of the show, but my advice is do that unusual thing that you kind of want to do, but you kind of don't really want to get into it because you know it's going to be a project. And find out how it opens the door for someone else to say, hey, bring your books here. So the first book was a Kindle, and it's The Act of Aging, because most people would think of The Art of Aging. How do you embrace aging? Second would be my Aspects of Aging book. And all of this is at agingbetternetwork.com. If you go there, you find everything. How to get a hold of me. You find out about the books. You find all the previous episodes of people talking about what they do well, having to do with aging. The second book was a brain dump. I had met so many people who were decades older than myself and spent a lot of time with them. And I thought, you know, I'm just really lucky. I am just really lucky to have spent time with people who don't just talk about aging, they live it. And as several people have said, I don't think of it so much as aging as living. I woke up another morning and I'm living. So I wrote down 52 aspects of aging. And that's from notes that I made all during those years. And I put together a book and I made it into a workbook because I used to be an educator. I guess I still am. I still want people to know about things. And I connect them with people that I've met and that I think the two of them together could cause greater change than the two of them individually. The last book is the Care Griever Kit. It's a very practical guide, very short. And when it went into the hands of an expert in the field of gerontology, she said that twice, in fact, she wrote me a note, sent it in the mail, and said, since receiving this, twice, people have stopped and flipped it open while I'm working away at the computer, and they have made the same comment, this I could do. So Care Griever Kit was born out of myself being a hired caregiver in nearly 100 different homes, which is where I met people who were 15 to 50 years beyond my age. And I had my own grieving to do as a caregiver. But also, it's for a person who has experienced grief. And it comes again, and it comes in waves, and it comes unexpectedly, and sometimes it comes on the calendar. It's almost time to grieve that loss again. And just practical things that you can do for yourself, for your health. So those are my three books.
Tell me some of the practical things that people will find in the Care Griever Kit book.
I came up with different categories thanks to the advice of people that I hang out with on LinkedIn. And one was, you're in the process of losing someone. I know this is debatable as a topic, but you're in the process of losing someone due to dementia. So you're already in that process. Things that you could put in a container of your choice, and that container is placed in a spot where you know where it is, it's visible as much as you want it to be visible, maybe tucked away where no one else can see it. There's another kind of grief that comes with a terminal diagnosis. Again, you are losing that person, but you're in the process. And what do you do during that time? And so I give examples of examining yourself. Do you deal with loss with anger? Then create for yourself a kit where you can get some of that anger out. If you know that you sink too low, put in phone numbers and names of people that will understand and may be certified to help you through the lowest lows. Another kind of loss would be a person that you never met, but you heard on the news that they died. And you're like, that person was so important to me in maybe an entertaining way, or because of their inspirational work, or they may be a sports hero. And you realize it could really hit me again when I see that movie, when I go back to that stadium, when I'm listening to songs on the radio. And you've got a kit that you built on your own terms for how you're going to handle this. Do you need something to smell better, to look better, to get you out of the house because you tend to become reclusive? Put it in there. And it's basically you giving physical support to yourself, because you know it is delicious to eat that. It is cathartic to create this. It makes a difference in the lives of others who are feeling the same loss. Like I said, on a calendar, you know that date, that birth date, death date, anniversary is coming up. And you decide, I'm going to put in some note cards. It's already pre-stamped envelopes. I've got some addresses of 5 people. And I'm going to write them a note saying, I'm thinking about you as I'm thinking about so-and-so. Whatever it is. And those are the suggestions that I give in there. And even as I was going through, there was one point where I said, oh, I just thought of another one. So I do write like I talk. So that is Caregriever Kit, is caring for yourself in your grief with something practical that you have created on your own terms.
We went a little different direction than I thought.
Oh.
But I love that we're talking about this. This is an important thing. We need to learn how to grieve. We need to be equipped when those waves of grief come over you, just like you said. AgingBetterNetwork.com. There is a tab you can click and go to books, or just type in AgingBetterNetwork.com/books. You can find all of the books that Christine has written, including the Caregriever Kit. It's available on Amazon, easy to get, maybe for yourself or for someone else. That's important. I'm glad that you shared that. You spent a lot of time with families caring for their person. You took notes, and that went into the Aspects of Aging Prompted Journal, also available on the website. So you've written these books. You came to Waco, joined the chamber, got involved in a lot of other events. You've been to a lot of chamber events, ribbon cuttings, business after hours, a lot of different events that have come on. Faith is also an important part of your life. Waco has been called the buckle on the Bible Belt.
And that is also not one of the reasons why we moved here. People ask, why did you choose Waco after living our entire adult life? And I say adult life because when you're a kid, you get moved. But we never moved out of a 100-mile radius from the bottom of Benton County to up in Polk County. I don't think we ever broke into Marion County. We moved to Waco, not for any of the reasons that people can think of, but simply because of the people. I imagine myself when I realize that I'm the one who is actually dying in that moment. I have cared for people shoulder to shoulder with hospice who comes in before someone has died and gives a lot of help. People who have experienced hospice can tell you about that. I thought, what will my final act be? You can tell by my books that I'm about do it, the act of aging, pre-act your age prompted journal, and then caregiver kit that is practical. You do it. You don't just read about it and nod and go, oh, that would be a good idea. It's something you can start today. I imagine myself just opening up my arms and going backwards like in a trust fall, like you're at one of those camp situations, you're at an employee group building, whatever those things are called, and you are trusting everyone else to catch you as you are falling. And I just honestly see myself putting my arms out and just releasing life and falling backwards in total trust that the Lord's going to be there to catch me in whatever way. I mean, this is not, I don't have a mental image. I don't have a requirement, you know, I've made a deal with God or something. It's more of that I want to be a person who lives as they live, and when they die, to accept that as the final act of living. Imagine just falling into his arms, because he created me. He gave me all these opportunities. He gave me a neighbor who came home one day and I said, how's work? She said, I am so short-handed. I said, well, I'm short-cashed. Maybe we should get together. In short, she said, I'll hire you, come in Monday. That's when I learned what a caregiver is. I thought maybe a person who works at a nursing home. I didn't know those details. Nursing homes were places that you put people who were getting to the point where you were scared for them and scared what was going to happen next, and you didn't know how to handle it, and you didn't have the background, and you couldn't be awake 24/7 and fix everything. As a caregiver, I was hired to be what I called the extra daughter-in-law you didn't know you needed until now. I was never brought in for fun. I was brought in because things were at crisis level. All hands were on deck, and it still wasn't enough. So they hired someone like me to actually come into their private home. And that might mean 2 hours a day just having a human being around to make sure a few sundry items were taken care of, and that the person had interactions, and that the person was still in the same healthy spot that they were last time. And in some situations, it was 12 hours. Some situations, it was staying overnight. I slept on a cot at the foot of their bed so I would know when they rose, or I never slept. So my faith in God started before I was 6 years old, because that's when I told a visiting pastor that I wanted to make God happy. So I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. It continued into my teen years when someone said, okay, you have him in your life, but is he the Lord over your life? And so I learned more about that. And what happened here in Waco was that while my husband was away from home, I had a thought that just didn't feel like something I would think. And it was, be content with whatever church your husband chooses. And I decided to obey that. He chose a church, surprised me, because we were in a new region of our nation. And after two visits, said, this is the one. I attribute those moments to the Lord. When I feel like I'm supposed to pray for someone in a place, I end up bursting into tears praying for someone in a place that I have driven by thousands of times. But suddenly that day, the thought occurs to me, I'll go ahead and pray. It's time with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with just talking to God and giving something back to him in obedience and in faith. I try to treat people like the Jesus that I read about in the Bible. It isn't about how they please me or what we have in common, just treasuring that they exist and listening to what they have to say. And that's been part of connecting here in Waco, finding guests to be on my show, Aspects of Aging. And it's been part of people saying, so you're really excited about living here, and you've really gotten to know a lot of people. It feels like you've lived here a long time.
You were a school teacher. You've been a caregiver. You were the first entrepreneur in the family. You had a tutoring business. You were a personal assistant, but you're on the verge of a new business here in Waco.
I tutored both students and their parents because it was one of those times when the curriculum was not really understandable to the parents. A company closed down and I was despondent. I loved working with older people, and a business person who was in their 90s said, I'll talk you up and you're going to start your own business. So that was the second business. The last one is, once I had transferred them from wheelchair to a comfortable seat in their living room, I noticed how neglected their wheelchair was. The pockets had crumbs, leftover things, even medications. The whole thing looked like it had been left out on the porch. And so I detailed that wheelchair. And so far, I have not found anything like that in the Waco area. In fact, I did find one in Australia. They detail wheelchairs to medical grade. I would detail them to the point where this person is pleased to be seen in their wheels. So that's what I'm working on now, is the possibility of that being a business around town. And if they want some companionship, well, you can tell I like to talk.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.